We are very blessed with those guys. Everybody doing good? Good. Good. We talked last week about discipleship a little bit. One of those things that people in church have heard a lot about, discipleship, being a part of discipleship, making disciples, all those kinds of things. I had the, if you weren't here, you missed out, especially the first service, like just, I mean, it, you know, it tanked. And it's all my fault because I asked people for pictures of them with fish. And we tried to, the guys loaded them into the computer that morning, but it was like 60, 70 something pictures. And for whatever reason, it just, I don't know if it's just too many files or whatever, it just crashed it. And like ruined the computer being able to be used for the words during the songs and the whole, you know, it was fantastic. You know, I talked about, you know, this whole idea of us being fishers of men, and you know, the fish pictures were just kind of funny, which, by the way, I plan on posting on the church Facebook page so everybody can enjoy them later. The idea that we would go fishing for men is one of those things. I mean, it's kind of a crazy sounding thing, but it really hits home to us when we think about that, when we think about this call that God has put on our lives as believers, that we've been called to be about reaching out and making disciples. And we talked last week about how fishing for men, being fishers of men, and making disciples, really the same thing. Those things cannot exist without the other. They need one another. They're, in fact, in many ways, the same thing, doing the same things, leading people to Jesus, if you will. And so this morning, it's been kind of a weird week, kind of a crazy week. I've been in meetings all day on the other side of town. For those of you that drive to the other side of town in the mornings, my heart goes out for you. I don't know how you do it. I think I found like the three days I went, I found three different routes to go, and I wasn't happy with any of them before it was over with. But you know, it's just crazy. But I was getting to hang out with church planters this week, guys that are feeling led to plant and start new churches, and very humbling time just getting to be with them, listening to them, hearing their hearts for communities that God is calling them and leading them to plant churches in. And specifically, you know, as they were talking about those things, I was just remembering what it was like when we planted 24 Church 10 and a half years ago. And just remembering just the awesome burden on our hearts for lost people. The awesome burden on our hearts that there was a need for a church in this community that was just a little different than the others. Not better, not got it figured out, just a little different. Preaching the gospel, trying to lead people to Jesus. And as I listened to some of them and them talking and their hearts, and they were talking about people, and man, it just, I mean, it's like flashbacks. And even as we were sitting there, I began thinking about people now. Begin thinking about families now that I have on my heart that I feel like God wants to use 24 Church to minister to them. And I thought to myself, do we as a church, as a whole, do we have a burden for the lost? Do we have a burden for the saved and the unchurched? Do we have those burdens? Is that still who we are? Or is it too easy for us to get to a place where we say, you know what, we're doing pretty good, let's just go and show up? I began thinking about the idea that God has a mission. You know God has a mission? Do you know that? He's got a mission. God has a mission, and not only does He have a mission, but He has called the church to be a part of His mission. That's an amazing thing, because at the end of the day, God doesn't need us to do anything. He could do whatever He wants to, however He wants to do it. But the truth is that He has a mission, and in His mission, He has made it where He has chosen for us to get to be a part of His mission. Us being the church, you know, God has called us. If you didn't realize this, if you're a believer, God has called you to be a part of a church body. And he has called that church to be a part of his mission. And it's not about church, you know, it's not about the mission of a church. It's about God's mission and that church would be a part of his mission. And I think that's very important. This morning, and as I've prayed about this week and thought all week about, you know, what I was going to teach on today, and we kind of have like an off week between a couple of things. We're going to be starting something in a few weeks new that I'm excited about. But in this in-between time, sometimes that's like the hardest thing for me. It's like I have so many things on my heart. What do I teach? What do I get to teach? And as I've been praying about it this week, I've kept coming back to what we were talking about last weekend. This idea that we're called to be fishers of men and make disciples. And do we really have it? Are we really there? Are we ready to go with that? And so I just felt like I was supposed to talk about it some more. So this morning we're doing that. God has a mission, and his ultimate mission is his glory, to make himself known. And that's a great thing, because God's desire to make himself known means that he is leading people to him. He is drawing people to him. And we want God to do that. That sounds egotistical if we look at it the wrong way. You know, it sounds like egotistical that God, why would God want to do that? It's like, why has God got to be all about himself? Well, we need him to be all about himself, okay? We need him to be about his glory. We need him to be about making himself known, because that's drawing people to him to know him. And let's face it, if he is the only saving factor in all of creation and all of the world, then if he really does love us, then yes, he is going to make himself known. He is going to draw us near to him. We need him to do that. And so his mission is his glory. Again, he chooses for the church to be a part of that. And he's called us as a part of the church to be fishers of men, to make disciples. So what's that look like? That's usually like messy stuff. That's like we got to talk to people and stuff, you know, right? Like we just let's face it. I'd love to have your honesty, but I'm not going to ask. But I really want it. I wish I could just have you like raise your hand and be honest with me and just go, I'm one of those people. I just want to come to church. I want to show up and I want to go home. I'm not going to ask you to do that. Don't do it. But I really want to. There's part of me that really wants to, because I'd like to get the survey of the deal, because that's not what it's all about. That's not what it's all about. In fact, let me kind of pose up. Let me paint a picture here for us. Let me just say, let's make up a church here. I'll use the one I used in the first service, which is, there actually used to be one of these, but let's say there's a church that you feel led to be a part of. Let's call it Little Hope. There was actually a Little Hope for a while, not too far from here. They changed their name a couple years ago. Can you imagine why? But let's just say, so we got Little Hope Baptist Church, Little Hope, whatever, you know, as long as I share the gospel, I don't care what the denomination is, it doesn't matter. But Little Hope, and you feel God leading you to be at Little Hope. And part of the reason that you feel God leading you to be at Little Hope is because Little Hope is a place that they have a burden for their community. Their community, they have a burden for it. And so when you've gone, you feel like God has used that church in your life, but also you see that they are a part of the mission of God. And so God's placed on your heart, this is the place where you're supposed to be. So if this is the place that God has called you to be as a part of his mission, what part of going and coming does that do? Nothing. You see, so many people, and folks, before I get too far into this, let me say from the front end of this thing, I have no interest in making anybody feel guilty today, okay? That is not my interest at all. I have no interest in making people feel guilty. But heavy on my heart is the fact that there are tons and tons of Christians, people who say they love Jesus, who are on mission for God, with God, in his mission as a part of his church, yet they're not really a part of his church. They're on their mission. Why in the world do we think that our mission is a better mission? Well, I'll tell you how we get there. I don't know. I don't think we mean to land the plane there, but we end up getting there is because of selfishness. I mean, let's just face it. Like we're too busy. We got too much going on. We don't, you know, we're not smart enough. We're not good enough. We're not, you know, come up with an excuse, you know, of the 10,000 things that we'll come up with. But at the end of the day, what we'll talk ourselves into believing is that I need to be fed. It's all about me. You go, well, Chris, I served, you know, for a long time, and I served and served, and I got burned out. And I'm sorry if that's the case for you. Or I gave my heart to serving others and loving others, and I made myself vulnerable to other people, and you know what? They stomped on it. They stomped on my heart. You know, and I shared stuff with them that I thought was just between us. And the next thing I know, it's out and it's on social media or something. Sorry. Nothing ever said that the mission of God would be easy. What we do know is it actually says that there will be suffering. And there will be times when we will want to give up. But there is something so much greater than us, something so much greater than a church, so much greater that we get to be a part of. It's a bigger picture. And I want to talk about that this morning. I want to talk about that bigger picture a little bit. I want to talk about, and I want to challenge you this morning. I want to challenge all of us. I want to challenge us as a church of what does it look like for us to make disciples? What's it look like for us to be fishers of men? If God is calling us to Little Hope Church, and He's doing so for us to be a part of the mission, then He wants us to really be a part of the mission. So what's the mission? Let me paint a little picture for you here. I sat with these church planters this week. And as I did, and they asked me a lot of questions, and again, very humbling. Just a real privilege to get to be with these guys as they're praying through what God is leading them to do. They're asking lots of questions and they're asking things about our church and things. And as they were, I found myself realizing that, and by the way, 24 Church is an anomaly in so many ways. I won't get into all that. It's not about 24. But as we were sitting there, it just really sunk into me. There are so many church planters, guys that God has led to plant churches, that they would salivate at the opportunity that 24 Church has been given to this community, for the community that they have been called to. Let me give you the perspective of that. Every single week, we have families that walk through those doors. We have single people that walk through those doors. We have hurt people that walk through those doors. We have people that have given up not only on the church, but they have vowed off and sworn off their faith in Jesus. Walk through those doors. We have children, kids that walk through those doors that don't know Jesus. Adults that don't know Jesus. God has given us a responsibility as a church that we would make disciples and that we would go fishing. In the fishing world, what I'm describing to you right now, and I guarantee you, every one of those church planters would amen and completely agree with what I'm about to say. But in that world, in the fishing world, when it comes to fishing for men, that's not just fishing. That's not like going out and fishing a tournament where you're competing against a bunch of people. No, no, no. That is fishing in the hole, as the saying goes, shooting fish in a barrel. That's God bringing people to us and saying, here you go. Here you go, church. Love these people well. Take care of these people. Wrap your arms around these people. Lead them to me. Now, we know that our responsibility in making disciples and being fishers of men is not just a Sunday morning thing. And so I want you to clearly understand, I'm not talking about just a Sunday morning thing. But there is the aspect of the Sunday morning thing that so many believers have gotten to where they're just like, you know, I'm just going, we just go to church, we go home. That's what we do. But God has called us to be a part of the mission. I'll tell you what happens. People get burned out. They get tired. They want to go into what I call early ministry retirement, which, by the way, is nowhere in Scripture, okay? I don't know if you've ever read the Bible or not, but typically what we see is we see like people like giving their lives, and either they just die or somebody kills them for telling people about Jesus. We're probably not that far off from that happening this day and age, by the way. God called us, and He called us specifically to a group of people. In the whole idea of making disciples, we've got to determine who are the people that God's called us to. Who are the people I'm supposed to make disciples of? I'm going to read a passage in just a minute, but I want us to watch a video real quick of a friend of mine. This is a pastor friend of mine from Atlanta. You've probably heard me mention him before, and this is actually from a conference that we went to a couple years ago, and they did a little sit-down interview, and we're just asking him just a little short thing of, you know, what's it look like to make disciples? And I'd like for us to check that out. Let's see what Leontz has to say about this.
The blueprint for disciple making has been given to us from the scriptures. Jesus showed us with his life where he took these men along with him as he proclaimed the good news of the gospel and glorified his Father with his life. And he instructed them on how that would take place and how it would be formed in their lives. I think that the scriptures are so clear. Take them to Jesus. Take them to Jesus. Take them to Jesus. He will make them who they should be. And some of that is information download, certainly. And that's the head. Some of that is applying that to the hearts of people as the Holy Spirit strips away their idols. That's the heart. And then the rest of it is the mobile missionary unit that we're supposed to be, where we are engaging with people who have not heard or felt the good news of the gospel. And so we show with our hands who our God is. And I think that is the clearest and plainest description of disciple making, and it's straight from the scriptures. I think we have gone so far to invent ways of making disciples when the Bible has given us exactly what we need. And I think if we get back to the basics and stop trying to recreate what God has already shown us, then we can see the fruit of discipleship.
Leontz, he's an amazing dude. Loves Jesus, loves the Lord. He stands like this tall. He's, you know, just and an amazing athlete. And you want to talk about big picture. Leontz could talk big picture because, you know, when I talk big picture, I'm thinking about, you know, we only see little pieces of the puzzle at a time. You know, I've talked about this before. And it's like God gets to see the whole thing, and here we are, we're working on the corner piece, right? You know? And we think, man, this is my world right here. You know, this whole, you know, and my life is all wrapped up in this corner of this thing that's so massive and so huge. We have no idea that it's just some little part of the mission of God. Leontz was a wrestler in high school and was a really good wrestler. Leontz went on to wrestle and got offered a scholarship for a full ride to Oklahoma State University. to wrestle. And so he took that. He recognized he wanted an education, needed an education. They were going to pay him to throw other dudes around on the floor to give him an education, and he not have to pay for it. And so he took him up on it. And he wrestled for them. He also wrestled for the USA Olympic team. He is still a pretty good wrestler. I've seen dudes at seminary think that just for the heck of it, they would try to take Leonce down by jumping on his back. And I have seen him own them every time. and it's really funny to watch. Leonce was on campus one day at Oklahoma State University. And, you know, his world was wrestling. That was his thing. That was his big picture at that time was he was wrestling. This is his story. And walking across the campus one day, the football coach for Oklahoma State saw him and stopped him. He said, "Son, what position do you play?" And Leonce said, I'm a wrestler, sir." And he said, "What position do you play?" And he said, "Sir, I don't play football. I just wrestle. This is what I do." And he said, "Son, I will see you on the field today at 3:00. This is not high school. This is college, okay? So he said, "Yes, sir," because that's Leonce. And he went and showed up on the football field that afternoon. And he started playing football. Now, he'll be the first to tell you, he doesn't really like football. But he started playing football. And he played football for Oklahoma. And by the time that he was done with college, was drafted into the NFL. He played football for the Bucks, the Saints, and the Falcons within several years of his football career. A lot of people would say, "Man, what a ride. What a life." You know? When I met Leonce, he was done with his professional sports career. And instead of trying to hold on to it in some crazy way, he was on to trying to seek what God was calling him to do as a part of God's mission, which was to plant a church in inner city Atlanta where there's a huge need for a church. I think for so many of us, we get caught up in the corner piece of the puzzle and we miss that there's so much more. There's this bigger picture that we have been called to be a part of. And that a lot of it is really just being faithful. It's being faithful with the right now. In fact, I'm going to read a passage with you. If you've got your Bible, go ahead and get it out. If you don't, our ushers will give you one if you'll hold your hand up and you can keep it. If you don't own one, we'd love for you to have it. But Matthew 28 is the passage that we're going to. Don't make Kenneth walk the aisle without somebody letting him have a Bible, okay? Just because you feel sorry for him, get one. All right. Thank you, Kenneth. Thank you, Huggy. Matthew 28, and I shared from this passage last week, and I want to go back, and I just want to touch on it briefly. And I'm not trying to exegete the whole thing today or anything, but I just want to touch it briefly because it says a couple of things to us that I think are important enough for us to go back. This is the Great Commission, important enough for us to go back and look at again. Matthew 28, verse 18. Matthew 28, verse 18. It says this. It says, "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" So we have this understanding that we've been called, the church has been called, and we are the church, okay? We've been called, if you're a believer, you're called to be a part of the church. If you're a part of the church has been called to be a part of the mission of God. Not the church's mission again, but the mission of God. So what is the mission of God? Well, this is the mission of God. This is a part of the mission of God, that we would go therefore and make disciples of all nations, but baptizing them and teaching them, just like the scripture says. So if we're to make disciples of all nations, right there, that's one of those passages that a lot of people, when they hear it, they want to take what they want out of it, but then they don't want to take the whole thing. And the truth is that Jesus is very specific with what he's saying here. All nations is there on purpose. And I know that for a lot of us, we think to ourselves, when we hear the term all nations, the terms all nations, we think to ourselves, well, that's for somebody else. That's not for me. God's not calling me to go anywhere else. Well, the truth is, and this is unfortunate, but the truth is that for many believers, many Christians today, they wouldn't know if God's calling them to go somewhere else right now or not, because they're not being faithful with what God has given them right now. You go back to the Little Hope example. If God has called us to be a part of Little Hope Church, and there's a mission for this church to go and make disciples, where does that start? That starts in the community that God has put Little Hope. What's that look like? God has been strategic in placing a lot of people in your lives and in my life. People that nobody else that love Jesus, know Jesus as their Savior, may ever be in their life. It's on purpose. They are part of the mission field that God has given us. And you're like, well, Chris, what about all nations? All nations comes when we have been faithful with what He's given us right now. He begins to show us a bigger kingdom, a bigger expansion of the ministry that He has called us to. God may call some of you, believe it or not, God may call some of you, if you really, truly, faithfully seek the Lord and you're running after Him and you're being faithful with ministry right now, God may one day call you to go somewhere else. He may call you to do something that just seems absolutely crazy. Let me encourage you, if He does, listen to Him. Listen to Him. May we be a part of getting to send you to where God is leading you to go. But for right now, if you take things like the parable of the sower, parable of the talent, some of these things, what we see over and over that Jesus is teaching us is that we've been called to be faithful with what we've been given right this second. What's He given you? Where's your little hope? What church has God called you to be a part of, to strengthen the ministry in? This church has so many needs, we'd fill 10 bulletin boards out there in the hallway. And a lot of it is because it has become easy, because of the size of this church, for people to come and go and feel like they can just be consumers and don't need to be a part of the other. But the truth is, it doesn't even matter about what we think the need really is. God wants to use us as a part of the body to love others, to make disciples. We love a church that's leading people to Jesus, right? We love a church that is going and making disciples of all nations and baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We love a church that's teaching them to observe all that God has commanded, as long as we don't have to do all those things ourselves. Don't fall into that. Don't fall into that. Again, I'm not interested in guilt today. No guilt involved. I don't have a dog in that hunt. I don't need to have a dog in that hunt. I am concerned for the hearts of believers that are missing getting to be a part of kingdom work where God wants to use them to do amazing things. There is no early retirement for the kingdom of God. Now, you may have gotten it for your job, and awesome if you did. We should hang out and eat hot chicken sometime. But make no mistake, God's not done with you if you're still breathing. Leonce hits nail on the head, saying, we have overanalyzed, and we have made so many, concocted so many ways of making disciples that we're missing the whole point of lead people to Jesus. Lead people to Jesus. That's what we're called to do. That's what we're called to do. You might be here today. You might, you might be somebody that you'd say, well, I'm Chris, I'm not even a believer, I'm not a Christian. I don't even understand some of this. Why in the world? Here's what you need to know about us that are believers, and maybe you've not seen this modeled well from people that are Christians in your life, but I'll tell you what we're striving for, and that's this. We have trusted all of our faith into believing that God sent His Son Jesus to die for us, that we could be forgiven, and that His death would pay the penalty that we should have for our sin, that we could be forgiven of our sin. And not only did Jesus defeat sin on the cross, but He defeated death because the grave wouldn't hold Him. And therefore, not only are we made new creations in this life with an amazing life, if we'll follow the Lord, and it's trying at times, but it's so much more of a ride than the one that we'll come up with on our own, that we also get to, when we die, defeat death. And I'm reminded of that again this week, as two people, one in our church and both very close to me, lost people that they loved very much. Stood in a hospital at midnight on Wednesday night with one of our guys who lost his dad this week. Another friend of mine texted me last night, said, I lost my grandmother just a few minutes ago. I said, man, I texted back, said, man, I'm going to be praying for you. He said, man, thank you. And I loved this. He said, but I want you to know, we are doing good! Exclamation point. Just lost his grandmother. How in the world could he just lose this woman that he has loved all of his life? And text me, we are doing good! Exclamation point. I'll tell you why. Because he knows that she went home. This is not home. This is not home. This is but a blink of an eye. And if you don't believe me, then watch a kid grow up. This is but a blink of an eye. And we get so wound up with things here, don't we? Man, how guilty are we of that? All of us. And God is saying, look, I've got a mission. And I want my church to be a part of it. I want the bride of Jesus to be a part of it. And I want you to be a part of that church. And I want you to seek out that mission. Boy, it sure does put in perspective those people walking through those doors, doesn't it? All those people. The ones that have given up on the church. The ones who don't know the Lord. They need people that love. Let me give you a little perspective on that. Let help you to think about what a big deal it is for somebody to come walking through our doors. I had one church planter I was at a lunch with 2 weeks ago talking to me about how he planted this church, and for the first 2 years of the church, there were 16 people, and they met every week. 16 people, 16 people, 16 people, 16 people, 2 years, 16 people. This was out in Las Vegas, and not easy to get folks to come to your church in Las Vegas. He talked to me about the day that a family showed up, about 2 years in. He said, we were so defeated. We were so defeated. Boy, let's put stuff into perspective for us. We want to get whining about feeling burned out and serving, having to get to church early on a Sunday morning, blah, blah, blah. I mean, boy, it got me. It owned me when he was telling me the story. He said, you know what, the day, it was this one day about 2 years in, this family showed up. And he said, I had already, this is the story, he had written his letter of resignation to the church. And he said, I had planned to get up and read my letter of resignation to the church on this particular Sunday morning. I didn't have a message prepared, so on and so forth. He said, I let all of our family know that we were going to do this. And he said, I got a phone call on Saturday morning from my aunt. And my aunt said, Jeff, I don't think you need to quit yet. She's a very godly woman. He said he trusted what she had to say. He listened to her. He said, why not? He said, I just don't feel like God is done with you there yet. Don't give up. Don't give up. She said, I'll tell you what, will you make me a deal? She said, I've been praying about this. Will you make me a deal? And he said, I guess. He said, I want you to wait 6 more weeks. If God doesn't do something in 6 more weeks and you still feel led to give up, to leave, to resign, then do it. He said, okay. So he said, I spent all Saturday coming up with a message because I didn't have one. You know, he was just going to read his letter and be like, you know, drop the mic, bam. I thought that was pretty funny. I was like, man, you're just going to do them like that, huh? 2 years in, like, see you guys. And he said, went to church, and his family showed up that had come one time. And he said, and they brought with them 2 other families. He said, now, that doesn't sound like a whole lot to us at 24 Church. 24 Church, I don't even know. There's no telling how many families come and visit 24 Church on an average Sunday. He said, literally that day, our attendance doubled in size. Doubled in size. He said, all of a sudden, we had a kids ministry. He said, so we ministered to them. They ended up ministering to us. He said, those families came in looking for a church that was on mission to reach the lost, to be a part of God's mission and looking to be a part of a church doing that. He and I got to talking, and we talked about what a big deal it is for somebody to come and visit a church. Now, you know what this is like because at some point in time, you came and visited this church. And at some point in time, whether you were a believer or not a believer, just imagine, like, go put yourself back. Some of you are here today, your first time, and you're like, man, is he talking about me? Just chill out. I'm not talking about you. I am, but I'm not, you know. But I mean, think with me back to that time. Or think about a person that is going to come through those doors. Think about being all alone. Maybe a single person. Maybe they took a job in the area. They know no one. Some of you had somebody you knew here. You cheated, okay? You cheated. And you already knew somebody. And you had somebody to set with when you got here. You had somebody you knew that was going to love you, no matter how crazy you acted or looked or whatever, you know? Think about the single mom, the single dad. Think about a married couple who've lost a child. The people that are walking through those doors aren't walking through those doors because they have nothing to do. They're walking through those doors because they're seeking something that they may not even know what it is. And the question that God is looking at us, 24 Church today, and saying is, will you be faithful with my people? Will you love them well? Will you make disciples with them? That's the most real question that we could ask ourselves when it comes to the ministry of this church. It's not how many people are we running, how much are the offerings. It's not, I mean, and all that stuff, you're fine to know all that stuff. We hide nothing at 24 Church. But let me encourage us. We have been given a mission, and this is but a blink of an eye. If we go into retirement, then we will miss it. You will miss it. And you'll miss getting to be a part of something that God wants to do in your life. Say, Chris, I don't even know where to start. We'll talk about that. Let's look at, we got another video I want to show. It's a guy by the name of John Perkins. And this dude, he is an amazing follower of Jesus. And he's talking about discipleship. And I felt like it was worth showing just a little short clip. Let's see what John has to say about it.
We can make disciples by somewhat trying to be disciple. Mahatma Gandhi said, I would be a Christian like in the Bible if I'd ever seen one. we ought to try to let these people see one. I think that's the best way to do it. I think that they ought to know us by our good works, our good works of love toward them, that we have to let his light so shine through us that they would see our good works and that they would want to glorify this Father in heaven. It's how we live. Francis Schaeffer, the last great theologian, he asked the question, how should we then live? If God have done all of this for us, how should we live?
So good. Show them one. So how do I show these people that God has put in my life that are heavy on my heart, that I know I'm supposed to be about making them disciples? How do I start? Where does that start? Show them one. Be Jesus to them. It's so simple. It's so simple that we'll miss it. That big picture, remember the big picture I was talking about earlier? There's this big picture piece that God is going to use us making disciples for. Now, there's the obvious and some pretty awesome obvious things, like people coming to know Christ, people giving their lives to Jesus, him changing them, using them, being glorified through them. Obviously, those are huge pieces of this, but there's something more. There's something more to the big picture. Did you know that? Did you know that God is going to collectively take the efforts, the things where we've allowed the Holy Spirit to lead us in making disciples over time, he's going to collectively take all of that and use it for something bigger. I want to read a passage to you, Matthew 24. Matthew 24, and Jesus is sitting here with the disciples, and they're asking a huge question. How do we know when the kingdom of God is coming? Now, I don't have time to get into all the reasons of really probably why they were asking that question, and I encourage you to study it, and you can study it and find out some of that on your own, especially if you have a good study Bible. But Matthew 24, verse 3 says this. It says, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Now this is talking about like the end, okay? You know what I'm saying? And verse 4 it says, and Jesus answered them, see that no one leads you astray. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ. And they will lead many astray. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Some of this is like so easy to like see. This could be right now. There will be wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed, for this must take place. But the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are but the beginning of the birth pains. Well, that's encouraging, isn't it? It says this in verse 9. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. We got to watch this. We got to watch for this. Verse 10. And many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. Many false prophets will come. Verse 12, it says this. And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. Let me ask you a quick question before we keep reading. Is your love cold? Is your love cold? He says in verse 13, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. I'll read it again. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to who? All nations. And then the end will come. Jesus is saying to us, when the gospel of my kingdom reaches all nations, then the end will come. In today's world, with the missionaries that are being sent and the technologies that we now have, how much longer will it be that all nations will hear the gospel? And when they do, Jesus will come back. We don't have a lot of time to play around. I'm not the guy, and if you've been around 24 for any length of time, you know I'm not. I'm not the guy that, you know, comes down with end times all the time and trying to make everybody, you know, sing a song together and, you know. But the truth is the truth. Jesus is coming back, and I'll be honest with you, I'm ready for Jesus to come back. This crazy, stinking world that we live in, that gets crazier by the minute, we need Jesus to come back. But between now and then, we don't have time for retirement. We don't have time for I don't feel like it. We don't have time for I'm too busy and I'm too important. We only have time for the kingdom of God. We only have time to go and make disciples, to go fish for men. And if we can't start here on a Sunday morning when God is literally allowing us to shoot fish in a barrel, I don't know where we start. What happens out of the faithfulness of the things that God may lead us to will blow our minds. As a reminder of the great things that God is doing here at 24, because by the way, if you didn't know, God is doing some amazing things here at 24 right now. As a reminder of that, I want to show you a video that Jerry shot earlier in the year. If you were around at that point in time, we were celebrating our 10-year anniversary. We shot some videos with a few people just sharing what God had done through them in 24 and that kind of thing. And this is a couple from our church. Let's check this out, see how God's used us in their lives.
This is Beckett Hudson, and I'm Jessica Hudson.
My name is Brad Hudson. I'm married to Jessica Hudson and the father of Beckett Hudson. We've been here for a couple years.
And we moved to Pleasant View 3.5 years ago, bought a house in Maple Hills because he works in Clarksville and I worked in Nashville, and this was kind of the middle ground.
No real plans to have ever lived in Ashland City or to live in Ashland City or Pleasant View. But I definitely think there has been a plan as to why we have ended up here and why we've been led here.
And we had been going to a church in Brentwood, and it was just really far away, and wanted something close and homey.
We had some people in our subdivision in Maple Hills actually attend church here who had invited us to 24 Church and mentioned it, and we thought that we would come and check it out. And
we had heard great things about 24. We came I think it was in the fall, and were immediately just hooked.
The people that God put around us immediately when we walked through the door that poured into us, just again, I think we realized it was His plan that we were home. We were a part of a church family that understood what it meant to love people, regardless of background, regardless who they are, and just pour into them because God loves all of us, and they modeled it, and we truly felt as if we were a church family and still do to this day.
I see Jesus just through our community and our home team, Chamley. I mean, we have the best friends, and they would do anything for us, and we're just always with them, and know we can count on, you know, our community more than anything.
People come and spend time on you. When we went through a tough time of a miscarriage, I still remember people coming to our house just praying over us, and I learned a lot from that and how I needed to be a better Christian also.
I think Jesse and Jason have, you know, helped us with our relationship and, you know, make me want to be more like Christ.
People hold me accountable. There's men in this church that hold me accountable as if no one else had. They truly are brothers in Christ now.
And then just coming here and worshiping, and you just can constantly feel him in this, you know, warehouse. So you just know that he's here. It's just awesome.
I don't know what we would do without 24. If we're not in Ashland City in 10 years, we'll still always have a part of this church in our hearts.
I've always said I wanted to move away, and then now that we, you know, have Beckett, there's so many other people that are having babies. There's like 15, 20 people that have little ones, and it's just knowing that we could raise him, you know, in such a great community and having so many other kiddos like him to bring him up with to know Christ. It's kind of made me, I guess, rethink moving away and just staying here forever for him, because we just love it.
God planted us in Ashland City and Pleasant View, I know now, for a reason. And I think that faith that we put in him to allow him to work his plan and not try to do everything on our own and realize we can't do it on our own has been a big part of our lives. I'm just thankful for everyone here and for everything that everybody does for us, because God has put us around some amazing people. And I'm thankful for his plan for us, and I'm thankful for everybody here.
They even here today? I don't think so. That's funny. I didn't tell them the reason. Good. Take a picture of it. Good. Skippers. You may say to yourself, man, we need that. I need that. I need relationships like what they talked about. People that are there for me when things are tough, things are good. People to celebrate with. Nobody wants to celebrate alone. It means work. It means letting your guard down. It means letting yourself be vulnerable. And I know what many people are thinking. They're thinking, you know, I've done things like that before and I got burned. Well, just because you got burned didn't mean that the mission of God changed. Because we're all still called to be a part of community. Firefighters get burned, but it doesn't stop them from going back into the house to put it out. God is putting in front of us people that know Jesus, people that don't know Jesus, that we can invite into our lives to be in community with us. And the truth is that, and I mentioned this last week, I'm going to say it again because I think it's important to say twice, that if our identity is in Christ, then that means that we won't care what they think about us. It won't be about, oh, they know all of my junk. They know all of the bad parts of me. No. If our identity is in Christ, then they will see us for what they are, which is sinners who need Jesus. So where do we start? Pray. Pray for the people that God's put in your life. Pray for the people that you're going to ask to invite them to come alongside of you and live some part of life with you. I mentioned this last week. I'll mention it again. I'd encourage you to consider finding two or three people that you could meet with once a week for an hour, 1 hour. Read small passages of Scripture together every week. Get together and talk about it. Two chapters, a chapter, a half a chapter. Start somewhere. Start basic. Pray for each other. You pray for each other. You talk about what God is speaking to you about through His Word. And the next thing you know, you're making disciples. Share your life. Share your struggles. Share your knowledge of God, as little as it may be. God wants to use it to sharpen you and to sharpen them. And our mission, if we choose to accept it, is His glory. And a part of that is that we would make disciples, that we would tell the world who He is. And when the end finally does come, that we would get to join the party. Let's pray together.